Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And our guest today is going to be John Murray. He's the pastor of the Tree of Life Fellowship. And we will be talking about two of his books, The Uncrucified Church World, The Great Falling Away, and The Real Anointing. So it's going to be a very, very interesting program. And stay tuned. So the chat room is open, and I see my brother Vincent. Hi, Vincent, in the chat room. And you can check out his program on Blog Talk Radio, Black by Color Only, and I'm sure you'll enjoy that. Also, this is a live call-in program, so we welcome your phone calls for the next 60 minutes. And the call-in number is 914-338-1638. And we'll be looking for your calls. And if you have any comments, like I said, the chat room's open. So we want to let you know that we do have a YouTube channel, and that channel is Prophetic News TV. And we also have a website, propheticnews.com. So you can go there and look at some of the videos and go to the website. There's hundreds of links to articles that will bless you and help you in your Christian walk, because you know we are in the end times, and we're seeing so much apostasy. I never saw so many false teachers since I've been a Christian now 31 years, and I have never seen in my entire Christian life the rampant false teaching, false teachers, and I just can't believe it myself. At one time, when we watched Christian television, we could actually get something out of it. There were so many good teachers, and now, for the most part, all we see on Christian TV or what they call Christian TV are these money-grubbing prosperity teachers, and it's like a joke. For the most part, they sell miracles. They make a mockery of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they've basically sold out for fame and fortune. But over the past few weeks, there's been some interesting things happen. For instance, the granddaughter of Paul and Jan Crouch of the TBN Broadcasting Network filed a lawsuit, and she claims she was the financial manager there. Of course, she's no longer the financial manager there, but she claims that there was over $50 million that was diverted for the personal use of some of the attorneys, and also... that Paul and Jan Crouch themselves own a $50 million jet. Now, I just want to ask you, why does any ministry need a $50 million jet? I don't understand that. It's like, and then they keep having these telethons, you know, they want you to give them more money. They keep telling you they need more money to preach the gospel. Oh, dear. So my advice to people is don't send any more money to TBN. Save your money. Let them sell their jets and their mansions and whatever they need and earn a living an honest way. And maybe get a program on Blog Talk Radio or a TV program on YouTube, and then they won't need $1 billion to preach the gospel. I'll be glad when all that comes to an end. Anyway, I'm going to bring my guest on. Hi, John.
Greetings. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to learn something today.
Well, God bless you.
And why don't you introduce yourself to our audience, please?
Well, my name is John Murray. I'm the pastor of Tree of Life Christian Fellowship in Nanticoke, Pennsylvania. That's in northeastern Pennsylvania. But above all, I've come to lift up Jesus, that we might all be hidden in him and he might be seen.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we are so grateful for what the Lord has done for us. And it is really our hope that today, through this program, someone will come to know the Lord Jesus and have a new life in him. That's the most important thing that we want to do. But you wrote some interesting books, and also you joined us on a few programs that we did about the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, and it was quite interesting. But your book on the Great Falling Away. Now, what to you is the Great Falling Away, and are we there?
Well, I think we are definitely there. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, around the third verse, one of the things it says before Jesus can return, that there's two distinct things have to happen. The first is that there will be a great falling away, that there will be a falling away, there will be an apostasy. Actually, that word, the word for falling away in the Greek is apostasia, which means to stand away from the truth and stand against it. Before Jesus will come, men will depart from the faith and stand against the truth of the scriptures. Men within the church, men will depart from the faith, and within the church, men will stand against the truth. And that will energize the appearance of the one we know as the Antichrist, who will bring to the world, he'll be the beginning, his treaty with Israel will be the beginning of a seven-year time of the 70th week of Daniel, a seven-year tribulation, and the last 3.5 years, that being the Great Tribulation. But Jesus will not come until there comes a falling away within the church and the man of sin be revealed. Now, it's interesting, the term the man of sin is only two people have that title, the Antichrist, and then in John 17:12, Judas Iscariot. So there's going to be a Judas Iscariot spirit that is going to come up within the church. It will have walked with Jesus, but then it will turn against it. And that's kind of my picture of the great falling away.
Wow. You know, we're seeing some of that happen. A few weeks ago, Paula White, I don't know if it was exactly her or who, someone from her ministry, but anyway, they had my YouTube channel shut down. And they, not only mine, but several other people. And some of these other ministries, they call themselves ministries, but I don't know what kind of a ministry does something like that. And so we're starting to see some of that where it's going to be harder and harder, I believe, to expose these people because they like to sue people and they like to try to shut you down if you say anything about their false teachings. And what do you think about that, John?
Well, I think Paul White is a classic example of a person who's leading the great apostasy, the great falling away. And where you can most see that in her teaching is let me go back a little before. The NIV Bible, the New International Version of the Bible, which I consider very much an apostate expression. And the NIV Bible, if you go in the NIV Bible, the term, the only begotten Son of God, is completely removed.
Wow.
That term, the only begotten Son of God, refers definitely to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says, "We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God." Now, when we're born again, we're all sons and daughters of God, but we are born by the Spirit of adoption. There's only one who is God become flesh, and is God's the only begotten Son of God, is Jesus Christ. Now, I personally watched Paula White teach how that we don't need to pray to Jesus anymore, that we are all the only begotten Son of God. That is blasphemy. That is complete blasphemy. The way I define blasphemy is when you attribute the attributes of God to man and the attributes of man to God. To call us the only begotten Son of God is blasphemy. I am a child of God, yes, but I did not come from eternity past as God and become flesh. And that term, see, that all started with the NIV Bible. That is definitely one of our, that is one of the biggest things that is seducing the church, is the changing of the scriptures. And if you go on in Second Thessalonians chapter 2, it very much talks about how the spirit of Antichrist is energized by the Torah violators, or the one who's changed the scriptures.
Yeah, that's really true. With all the different Bible versions, you can make the Bible just, you can make it say just about anything you want it to say. But your book, The Uncrucified Church World, The Great Falling Away and the Bone Pile. Now, explain that title to me, because that title is very interesting.
Well, it's kind of taken from a couple places. One is taken from Galatians chapter 6, when Paul talked about how he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "Let no man trouble me." Paul also talked about, "I've been crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, but it's not I that lives, but Christ who lives within me." And if we are not daily having our old nature brought to death in conformity to the image of the death of Jesus Christ, we cannot, of course, touch the image of his resurrection. We cannot be made in his image, and man is created to be in his image. And so whenever you, in a sense, wherever whenever we are not dying with Christ Jesus, so to speak, whenever we don't acknowledge that we've died with Christ Jesus and our life is not our own, and that really Christ Jesus living in us, that is our life. Paul said, "I was separated from my mother's womb that Christ Jesus might be revealed in me." And that's what the gospel is really about. It's about that Jesus comes and lives in us, and then he is revealed in us. Now, there were people in the book of Galatians that were creating systems. They were creating a system of Judaism which would require the Christian to – it required something in additional to Jesus living in you. And so they had all kinds of ways that they would attempt to fulfill the law and fulfill the righteousness of salvation that was by their own power and their own flesh.
Yeah.
And they persecuted Paul for this. And when Paul says, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus," if we go into the marks of the Lord Jesus, you see he was marked in his feet, he was marked in his side, he was marked in his right hand and his left hand. He was marked by the thorns on his head, and he was marked by the whip, the marks in his body. And all those places the blood of Jesus flowed out of. And that blood is that flowed out of his body, that's an eternal blood that is still, it speaks over us today. And everywhere where he was marked, where it came from his feet, came from his hands, everywhere where he was marked and the blood speaks over our life, it speaks that our life is not our own. Our life belongs to Jesus, because in the blood is life, and we bear the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the church stops bearing the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it puts away cross and resurrection, and it starts to follow a systemization of error. That is the uncrucified church world. Another example of this, if you read John very carefully, you read how the book of John talks about the Jews' Passover and the Jews' Feast of the Tabernacle. Now, the Passover is something very, very much of God. Jeremiah 31:32 tells us that on the night of the Passover that God married Israel, and the night of the Exodus, God married Israel. 1 Corinthians, I think it's 5, 8, 9, somewhere in there, it says that Jesus Christ is our Passover. There is a Passover that was of God, but then there was a Passover that was taken by man and systemized into a system of making money. The
yeah.
Jews would they would kill over I think it was 550,000 plus animals on the Passover, and they would have vendors, and the vendors would sell the sacrifice. And they would, of course, give a piece of the action to Rome. And they had like a nice, between the global government of Rome and that the systemization of Judaism, a tremendous profit was made. That's why Jesus came and turned all that over, which is a whole other message, praise God.
Yeah, he did turn it over. It kind of sounds like what they're doing today, because they have that on TV, the Passover offering. And it sounds like the same system coming back.
It is. To me, they're vendors.
Yeah.
I was watching, and it disturbs me. I know you had written to me and asked me about one of the questions you were going to ask me about is to talk about the anointing. I was watching Benny Hinn the other night. Every once in a while, I'll torture myself and I'll put on TBN. I hadn't watched it in 10 years, and I put it on, and Benny Hinn was there doing a prosperity anointing.
Oh.
And his whole hand was getting filled thicker, more and more envelopes with pledges and money.
Oh,
and of course,
yeah,
he was doing the typical thing of pushing people over. And that is not the anointing of God. I'm going to make a bold statement. I don't think that, for the most part, I don't think that the church in the United States has any idea what the anointing of God is.
Yeah, I agree. So what is it? Tell us.
Well, the word anointing comes from, it means to pour oil upon. And, of course, I have in my book, The Real Anointing, the first three chapters I have are, if I remember correctly, are on the three different women that anointed Jesus. I believe it was in Luke chapter 7, I believe John chapter 11, I believe Matthew 27. And, of course, we could go into great detail with those anointings. But what the real anointing is, the anointing is not for man. The anointing is alone for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me clarify that, because I get a lot of criticism out of that statement without clarification. Jesus Christ, Christ means the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one. The women, the three women who anointed Jesus, who Jesus said what they did shall be remembered as a memorial throughout and be told to every generation, with the exception of Mary in John chapter 11, they were not named. And the anointing is when we pour everything upon the Lord Jesus Christ, all of our adoration, all of our love, and we take nothing for ourselves. I can't stand it when men claim to be anointed. There is none that is anointed but the Lord Jesus. And by grace, we participate in his ministry, which is anointed. But the anointing is not ours. It is alone his. The church is not ours. It's alone his. The ministry is not ours. It's alone his. But what's really interesting about the anointing is if you go into Isaiah chapter 10, in which the Antichrist is identified as the Assyrian, and there's a whole interesting history with Assyria, which I won't try to address now, but the Antichrist is called, and he's called the Assyrian in Isaiah chapter 10. And it is the anointing that breaks the yoke of the Assyrian. The Assyrian is the Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist. The anointing will break the spirit of Antichrist. But everywhere where I look, where I see people claiming the anointing, I find the spirit of Antichrist. Paula White, that is the spirit of Antichrist, to say that we're all the only begotten Son of God. That belittles Jesus and makes him as something less. Jimmy Swagger, in one of his books about, I think it's my question about the Bible or the cross, one of them, he tells us that we are not to pray to Jesus anymore. And that's another example. There's always the spirit of Antichrist will always belittle Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. And it is the Father's mind to highly exalt Jesus. But the Antichrist spirit is always belittling Jesus. You see today with Rick Warren and Robert Schuller and Bill Ibles signing this apology paper to the Muslim world for the Crusades, and they use these new Bibles that greatly belittle Jesus, and they belittle Jesus so they can have union with the Muslims. That is the spirit of Antichrist. The anointing breaks that. And there has got to be, for the Lord to have a church to come back to, there has got to be a turning. There's got to be a moving away from this current spirit of the great falling away, the spirit that is causing Antichrist to come in the earth that has invaded every Christian body I know.
Yeah, it's invaded is right. But you talk in your book about the American church and the spirit of Saul. And
that's the Uncrucified Church World Book.
Yeah. Explain to me, and explain to our audience, some people don't know the story of Saul, how he got into witchcraft, and how does that pertain to the church today?
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, if we parallel the nation of Israel with the church, we can do that by 1 Corinthians 10:6, if my memory is correct, where it says, what happened in Israel is given to us as an example that we will not follow in their path. They were all shadows. Now, here's what's really interesting. God has always wanted to be a king over a nation of priests, with Melchizedek first appeared to Abraham as the king of Salem or the king of Jerusalem or the king of peace. He and the high priest, Jesus is a high priest in the order of Melchizedek forever without beginning or ending. God has always wanted to have a nation where he is the king of that nation. He is the king and the high priest of that nation. That has always been God's desire. And Israel rejected that. And the reason Israel rejected it really was kind of the apostasy of Samuel's sons. They said, Samuel's sons, they have the spirit of the parasite. They don't keep us in the narrow way, and they're accepting bribes, and it's become about money with them. And therefore, we want to have a king that is like the other nations. And they rejected God. Samuel took that very, very hard. And so when it came time for the picking of, it's interesting when you contrast Saul, who's a type of Antichrist, and David, who is a type of the Messiah, of the real king. You take a look at Saul. Saul sought jackasses. David tended sheep. Jackasses or donkeys are notoriously known for being stubborn and resisting abiding where they are to abide. I'm going to give you a classic example. I used to live in Spokane, Washington, and I had a neighbor. I had a neighbor who had a donkey. And I was going to be a speaker at a full gospel businessman's speaker at the Spokane Convention.
Oh, yeah, that was the day.
and I was on my way, dressed, suit, shoes, all decked out, and I'm on my way, and I saw my neighbor's donkey going down the highway. Uh-huh. And as I'm driving by, the Lord convicted me. He brought to me the remembrance in the Old Testament where it says if your neighbor's donkey goes out of the way, to bring him back to him. So I pulled my pickup truck over, got out, and I walked this donkey all the way back up the road. He was happy to come with me until it came time to go in that straight and narrow gate. Here I was trying to pull him in, and here I was trying to pull him in so I could put the gate up and save him, and he just put his rear end backwards, and here I am in my suit and my tie and my shoes getting muddy, yanking this, getting this donkey in there, and I had to end up going muddy and kind of slopped up a little bit to be a speaker in my suit to rescue that donkey. And that's kind of a picture, I hate to say, that's a lot of a picture of the church today.
Yeah.
Saul sought jackasses. David took care of sheep. Saul had much stuff, and he stood head and shoulders above everyone else.
Yeah.
He was a very, very tall. He stood head and shoulders above everyone. And what's interesting is when people look for churches today, even the world has noticed this. People, when they pick churches today, they pick a church for the gymnasium,
yeah,
the softball team, how many programs they have.
Yeah.
Gymnasiums, what kind of coffee that they serve.
Yeah, the coffee.
I have an evangelist friend. He went to a church. He said as he's walking through to go to the prayer meeting, there's people lifting weights, doing aerobics, drinking coffee. And when he gets to the prayer meeting, there's three people to pray out of a church of 1,000. That's the spirit of Saul. Much stuff, but God's house becomes a den of thieves rather than a house of prayer for all nations. That's the first thing that Jesus dealt with in John chapter 2 after the opening of the way for the after the cleansing of the temple, right after the wedding at Cana of Galilee, when he did his first, what I call semi-eon miracle, his first sign miracle. Now, as you go down the line on Saul, he changes the sacrifice because the people are leaving. We've been so willing to change the sacrifice to keep the people in the church, the church in America. We now have a sex gospel. I don't like to promote books and things, but I have a new book coming out. It's going to the printer, I think, on Monday or Tuesday. And it's called The Conspiracy of the Prophets and God's Holy Anointed. And I take it from Ezekiel, the 25th chapter, I believe it is, where it talks about the conspiracy of the prophets to destroy Israel. And in that book, I cover two guys in particular. I cover Jimmy Swaggart, and I cover Mark Driscoll. And Mark Driscoll, I believe, is a guy possibly is devil-possessed. I've never seen a man preach a message that mocks Jesus Christ, just openly mocks him. That is a spirit of Antichrist, and they turn the Song of Solomon into a sex gospel.
Yeah.
Now, the masses are going there.
Yeah.
And the masses are going to the purpose-driven life, and the masses are going to the air. But how many are coming to the prayer room to pray and repent over the spiritual condition of this nation? Much stuff is very much preferred over authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Saul brought. He had much stuff, and he changed the sacrifice to keep the people with him. And because of that, he was rejected. And then in the end, you find out, and I believe this is very much going to happen, you are going to see a Judas spirit turn around, and it's going to come up out of the church, and it's going to come and persecute the church that is following the Lord Jesus in humility. It's going to bring a great persecution to it. That's a Judas spirit that's going to do that. You can begin to see that already beginning to take place, and that's going to escalate. And what's interesting, I'm very briefly touching Saul. If you read the book, there's a whole much more about it. But in the end, he ends up going to a witch, and he violates his own word not to be involved with witches, and he ends up going to a witch and ends up committing suicide.
Wow.
And I think that is the path of the uncrucified church world of today. And when we talk of the bone pile, we talk about how Uzziah enters into the Holy of Holies and is struck with leprosy, and the leprosy just it reduces him to a bone pile. It's the kings of Israel that usurped the kingship of God. Those kings all end up as a pile of bones. That's how they're described in the book of Ezekiel. And I think it's in Hosea 13, I think it's verse 11, 10 or 11, the Lord says to Israel, he says, now that your kings are dead and buried, he says, now can I be your king? Now that you're carried away 10 tribes into Assyria, now will you let me be your king? One of the most haunting scriptures in the entire Bible.
Yeah. It reminds me of Herod when he I believe it was Herod that he was eaten with worms. And yet people think that God wouldn't do such a thing. But it's interesting, too, how Saul, and we see so many of these teachers today inviting these witches and warlocks into their pulpits. To deceive people. How dangerous it is, because you see the tragedy of Saul's life and how it ended. It's very, very sad.
I see these churches having Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, like this Rick Warren's church in California, they go and they speak there and receive standing ovations.
Yeah.
These are people committing infanticide. These are people that are mocked the marriage union. These are people that are destroying babies, and the blood of the innocents is crying out to a holy God against this nation. And here is the church cheering them. And those guys they have those eternal security masks. They speak one way to one crowd, one way to another crowd. Jimmy Swagger does that too. They'll say, make statements when they're challenged. They just deny that they ever make them, and they just switch the subject.
Well, that's the thing that I see happening is we're now, you could make a YouTube video, and you can use some pictures, and you can use some video, and you can use some audio to prove what they're saying. There is such a thing as fair use for people that don't know that. You can take clips and use them, and there is no copyright infringement, but yet they're screaming copyright infringement, and they want to shut people down. So you'll no longer be able to take their words, their exact words, their audios and their videos to prove that they're lying and that they're false teaching. Because I remember even when you came on to the radio program and we were talking about Jimmy Swagger, and I had quite a few people say, well, he never said that.
If you remember when I was on your radio program last time, I read every single thing out of his book.
Yeah, and I had people even when I put it up on YouTube, I had people actually say, "Well, he never said that," so they'll have to go back to read it. But I find a lot of these people. Especially the people that are into universalism and this ultimate reconciliation thing, they disguise themselves. They used to be they used to have a list of all their churches on the internet, and you wouldn't know that you were going to one of these churches because they call them Victory Christian Center or New Life Christian Center, and you wouldn't even know it. I had posted a link to the site. And a few other people posted it, too. And then they closed it down so that you wouldn't know who the pastors were and who the churches were. The only way you can get to their list now is if you have a password. So they try to hide themselves. It's like you were saying. They have they preach one way to one group of people, and then they preach another way to another group of people. And they've become masters at deception.
They are. They are masters at deception. And again, I don't want to promote books. That's not why I've always come just to lift up the Lord.
People should read the books, and for people that don't know of John's ministry, and you like to read, and you like to read because somebody has done many, many hours of research as he has done on topics that interest people. So. If people want the books, they're available. They're available on your website.
The new book I have that's not out yet. It was going to print or should be probably out in about a month. I have two whole chapters that is almost. I'll take you to where you can find it in Jimmy Swagger's Expositor's Bible or his books, and I quote from it, and anybody can go look it up. I don't know why it's that Saul spirit. People will deny for Saul. They'll kill for Saul.
Yeah.
And it's just rather than it's that pride. They don't want to admit that they're wrong. But the problem then becomes, and I've seen this with Swagger people. What happens is once they believe that they become deceived, then they start to become the deceivers themselves. And I've noticed people who have become involved with Jimmy Swaggart that were once very truthful people now all of a sudden are great exaggerators and outright liars. It's that spirit comes upon them. And people don't see it's the word is infiltration. If you look in some of the Bible societies, and you can document so much infiltration, and there are New Age people who have invaded the church with the express purpose of diluting the Word of God, and
yes.
we're now having many people that are being falsely converted by another spirit. 2 Corinthians 11 talks about the apostles of Satan that appears to come in righteousness, and talks about how Paul was afraid that the church, like Eve, would become deceived. Eve was deceived trying to hold on to the Word of God. Eve was holding on to the Word of God. And then she changed the Word of God. And she changed it. Says, God says, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she added to it, nor touch it. And when Satan took that addition, and he said, God knows when the day you eat thereof, you'll become like him. You'll become a god. And what happens is we have a lot of people, I believe, are being falsely converted. How can you be converted under a Rick Warren ministry that tells you that there's homosexual lesbian members of the church that prays at the inauguration in the name of Esau, the blasphemous name for Jesus, the Muslim Jesus? And the Muslim Jesus is, according to the Quran, was never crucified, is not the Son of God, and is coming back with that imam that the fellow in Iran is talking about. He's coming back to exterminate Jews. That, you can't pray in the name of Esau and invoke a blessing upon the nation without losing a spirit. Look, since Barack Obama's become president, we've had earthquakes in Washington, D.C., which I never remember that happening. What cracks? The cathedral? And the monument. It's a picture. Our foundations are cracking under the judgment of God.
And the gargoyles were falling off and cracking.
And the gargoyles are falling. Hallelujah.
Well, it goes back to what you said about they want a king. They want a king. America is the Christian nation, not the church.
Yeah.
We want a king. Give us a king. And they don't
they want...
want
Saul.
Yeah, they want Saul, but
they don't want David.
No, they don't want David.
They want Antichrist. They don't want the coming of Jesus Christ. They want Antichrist.
And I found that the worst comments I had posted two videos on YouTube. One about Eddie Long and one about T.D. Jakes. And the worst people were the T.D. Jakes and the Eddie Long followers. They would say the most horrible things to me, and they were so loyal that these men could never make a mistake. And you could see how brainwashed these people are. And
that's true.
They have a certain spirit, some of the people that follow these men and women.
Some people are so blinded that they will follow the Antichrist with lying signs and wonders, and they will kill the true Christian someday and say they are doing God a service.
Oh, yeah. I believe we're going to see that, and I hope I don't have to see it. I didn't think I was ever going to see what I'm seeing now. It's just happening so fast. But you have another book, The Real Anointing, The Seven Spirits of God and the Overcoming Church. And you talk about the church, the churches in the book of Revelation. And I wanted you to tell the listeners about those churches and how they apply to what's happening today in the church.
Well, let me touch it the way, boy, that is a big, broad subject that you're asking me to touch right now. Let me say just a few things. Number one, when you see the third person of the Trinity is called the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit throughout the Scriptures, but when you get to the Book of Revelations, in the Book of Revelation, you don't hear him called the Holy Spirit. He's known by the title of the Seven Spirits of God. I believe it's Revelation 1:4, 4:5, and 5:6, and I think at the beginning of the Church of Sardis, the Lord says, I have the seven spirits of God. And that's very, very interesting. And then there's an addressing to these seven churches. And then there's and in addressing the seven churches, I've heard all kinds of interpretations, usually that men are anointed men get puffed up in. For example, you'll hear they'll try to say there were seven church ages and there were certain prophets that stood over each church age. That was Herbert W. Armstrong's teaching. But when you take a look at the seven churches and you try to see the seven churches just as one church, see them as one church, and I'll tell you why. Whatever happened to Ephesus can happen to any church today. Whatever happened in Smyrna could happen to any church today. Whatever happened in Pergamos could happen to any church today. Whatever happened in Thyatira could happen to any church today. Thyatira had Jezebel. Do we have Jezebel? I sure believe we have teachers that are joining people to false Jesuses, and yeah, that's spiritual adultery. Yes, we have Thyatira today. Do we have Balaam who correctly speaks the word of God and then turns around and betrays it for money? Do we have Pergamos today? We sure do. And as you go through the seven churches, and if you hear the Lord's voice speaking to all seven churches as one church, there's a message, and I'm going to briefly give it to you. It's this: you've left your first love. A synagogue of Satan has come that wants to imprison you. That synagogue of Satan has come and has established a seat of authority and has killed martyred Antipas. Now that authority of Satan that has come in that synagogue of Satan, now with it has come the depths of Satan, and you are now being joined to another god and spiritual adultery as Israel was in Ezekiel chapter 16. Then you go into the fifth church, which is Sardis, and he says this. He says, your wedding garments are dirty. There's a few that have not compromised. There are a remnant that hasn't compromised. Your wedding garments are dirty. Repent, or else I'm going to remove your name from the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 3:5. You know, that if your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going into the lake of fire. Later on, it tells us in this book.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, you see this descent. Think of this descent. You've lost your first love. Another synagogue of Satan has come. It's brought a throne. It has brought with its throne an authority and a depth, and it has spoiled the bride. And then what does God do next with the Philadelphia church? He shows you the church that is to be in the earth but joined to the headship of Jesus Christ in a heavenly fashion. He says to the overcoming church, you'll be pillars that won't go out no more. You're not going to enter into apostasy. You're going to stand strong. I'll write upon you the name of I'll write the name Heavenly Jerusalem upon you. I'll give you a new name, just as a bride, when a bride marries a man, she takes on his new name. That Revelations talks about how the heavenly Jerusalem comes down as a bride adorned. You see in the Philadelphia church, this here's an alternate to the falling away. It's the Philadelphia church. And then you go to Laodicea, and the Lord is outside of the church knocking, saying basically, which one are you going to pick? Are you going to be an apostate floozy, or are you going to be a heavenly bride?
That would make a good book, The Apostate Floozy.
Yes, it would. If you knew how many books were burning inside of me, I just can't get them out fast enough.
Well, keep doing it, because, you know, you mentioned something, too, and I find this scripture interesting, and if you can elaborate on it for me, it's in 2 Peter, and it says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness.
Yeah, that's... You see, the spirit of Balaam is in the Pergamos church. You see the spirit of Balaam in the book of Jude. And that spirit of Balaam is basically, it knows the truth. It knows the truth, but it is governed not by the truth, but it's governed instead by money.
Yeah.
I had I did a newsletter once comparing the NIV Bible which is a Vatican Bible, compared to a Texas Receptus Bible using a King James Bible. And I did a test of Antichrist with it. You can do the test of Antichrist, very, very basic test of Antichrist. For example, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? And you see, like in Philippians 2:6, it says, in the NIV, it says, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped.
Yeah.
In, King James, they'll say he didn't think of robbery to be equal with God.
Yeah.
You see in Acts 8:37, what hinders me from being baptized? If you confess and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may. You see in Acts 8:37 in NIV, completely removed. And so I go through these whole tests showing how the denial of Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, NIV, in whom we have redemption, the blood is taken out. How
yeah.
the blood is taken out, the confession is taken out, the deed is taken out. Luke 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone. King James, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what
yeah.
keeps us in truth and sanctifies us by every truth.
Yeah.
Well, a lady got a hold of my newsletter, and she brought it to a pastor of a large church in this area. And she told the pastor, oh, this is awful. And he brought his King James Bible for a while. And then he went back to his NIV and she went to him again. She says, aren't you going to tell the people? And he says, if I tell the people the truth about the Bibles, so many of them are going to leave. I'm not going to be able to be able to afford this. I can't do that. That's the spirit of Balaam. That's also the spirit of Saul. We have to keep the people with us, and if they leave, we grow afraid. Well, when the Lord had his first communion, where he said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, 5,000 said adios, and there was only 12 left. Do we follow man or do we follow the Lord? We're living in the great falling away, when the majority of the church is falling away in some fashion to different degrees. Do we follow the crowd to keep the people? Do we please man or do we please God? See, it has to be, the most important part about church to me is getting God to come to it, not man to come to it. The Lord's standing outside of Laodicea knocking. They're having church without him and they're doing fabulous. They're increased with goods. And the Lord turns and says, you're wretched, miserable, naked and blind. All that has great, great spiritual meaning. But, we have to understand that we are in a time of falling away, and the Lord is addressing his church, and we have to determine if we're going to be the church of the first love that is joined to his throne and joined to his heavenly intentions, or if we're going to join the last great apostasy, if we're going to overcome or not. I hope that answered.
Wow. Yes. it just brings tears to my eyes to see what's become of the church and how they've grown cold to the things of God. And it's not enough anymore. Now, I was born again in 1981, and when I first started going to church, it was about the Word of God. And
yes.
It wasn't about the coffee shop and the gym and all these other things and trying to think of ways to get people to go to church. I was happy enough to go to church just to listen to the preaching. And then everything started to change, and we've seen all these changes. And I just can't believe what I see. I agree with you 100%. About the coming persecution and how we see that, especially on what they call Christian television, which most of it is hardly Christian anymore, and they have run after the prosperity gospel, and you talk about it in your book, hell enlarges, and what it means to be trapped by prosperity.
Well,
you can
that's
elaborate
probably referring.
On that a little bit.
Okay, I'll try. Please understand, I wrote that book in 2004, and I haven't read that book in a while. But if you read in Jeremiah chapter 5, if my memory is correct, that is a perfect description of the church today. It's a perfect description. It's filled with adultery. It's filled with prosperity. But the Lord cannot find any man who is going after truth. There is a government of hell. And I really believe that in the government of hell, it likes to infiltrate. It likes to get inside of the church. You know, Jesus told us in the book of Mark that we are not to be asleep, but we are to watch. See, we have to understand the context of watch. In ancient Jerusalem, there would be men on the walls that would watch for the enemy coming. There would be the first watch, second watch, third watch, and the fourth watch. And it would be like 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6 in the morning. And the fourth watch was the one that was the hardest to stay awake, and you had to be the most when you could go to sleep. But the watchman would have to, he'd have to cry down to the porters, and Jesus even mentions portering. And the porters would, they were the ones that would stand in the gate and would not allow the enemy to come into the gate, because once the enemy got inside the city, he would be, it's like a counterfeit dollar. You and I could probably handle tons of counterfeit money and not even know we were handling it. But an expert would recognize right away and say, that's a counterfeit dollar, take it out of circulation. And yeah, that's part of our problem. We have such a huge counterfeit. It's a counterfeit anointing, counterfeit Bible, counterfeit teachings, counterfeit preachings, counterfeit movements. Everything is counterfeit. It has the name of Jesus attached to it. It looks like it, but it's really a monster. It's really a beast.
Yeah.
It's really something else.
Yeah.
You know, in the Seven Spirits of God book, one of the things that I go into is the seven nations that blocked Israel in the Old Testament. And with your permission, could I elaborate with that real quickly?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember when Joseph was betrayed?
Yes.
And that's an interesting history, too, because Joseph was sent by his father to retrieve the sheep. Where were the sheep? They were supposed to be at Shechem, which is where God first appeared to Abraham and then secondly appeared to Abraham. God would always appear to Abraham there, and when Abraham would build an altar at Shechem. And, of course, that's where he saw the promised seed, the Lord Jesus. That's where the sheep were supposed to be. But they had taken, his brothers had taken the flock, and they had moved the flock to Dothan. Dothan is the Egyptian word for the road to Egypt. So they had gone from Shechem was a little hill with a great tree, geographically. That's what it looked like in the time of Abraham. They had gone from the little hill with a great tree, Calvary, over to the road to Egypt. And it was there they made Joseph a captive. We won't elaborate all the fabulous truth that's in that, but he goes down into Egypt, and they eventually have to come to Egypt to get food from the one who Pharaoh named. He named him the bread of life. That was Joseph's name, was the bread of life. All life was the bread of life came from only one source, Joseph, who they had rejected. Now, it's what's really, really interesting. In this setting where they have to leave the promised land to get bread, and while they leave the promised land, they're eventually brought into slavery and are delivered from the slavery by a Passover lamb, and then they're taken to the promised land by Moses, who couldn't bring him in as a type of the law. It took Joshua, whose name means Yeshua, which is the name for Jesus. The Lord is my salvation. The Greek form for us is Jesus. And when they go into the promised land, there is now filled the promised land. Seven demonic entities have filled the promised land. And I feel you can find those seven same, the church has left the calling of intimacy with Jesus and has gone into Laodicea. And now, and what's intended for is now occupied by seven other spirits. Catch this. The first that they have to face is the Amorites. What are the Amorites? They block the way into what? Into the Jordan. What's the Jordan a type of? It's a type of the cross. That's where the sins are washed away. That's where we are joined to death. as soon as they go through the Jordan, they've got to come into they've got to go and be circumcised a second time, a picture of being born again. But before they can do that, they have to defeat Og and Sihon, the two kings of the Amorites. They have to destroy the kings of the Amorites and get into the river, and the river that flows from the city of Adam, the scripture says, and is stopped by the Ark of the Covenant, and the waters flow all the way back to the city of Adam. See, we have got to get out of Egypt and find our way into the presence of God, to the mercy seat. Exodus 25:22, I will commune with you at the mercy seat, and come into being conformed into his death, and come to walk in the new nature. Not just accept him once, but to walk in a new nature. What's the next thing they face? They face Jericho. Jericho is a Girgashite city. Now, here's where the seven nations that occupied Israel when Israel was deserted to go to Egypt for bread. There was the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Hittites. Now, I want to ask you, do we have a crossless walk? That's the Amorites.
Yes.
The Girgashites, they were the ones that were in, they occupied Jericho. But what happened to the children of Israel? They partook of the silver wedge and the gold wedge and the Babylonian gear, the Babylonian robe. And what happened? They lost the power for victory. They entered into cursed things. You know, one of the biggest curses you will find in the scriptures is the curse of nakedness. The whole Canaanite race that God said, cursed be Canaan, they are the descendants, they came about through Ham, who saw his father's nakedness, as opposed to Shem and Japheth, who covered their father's nakedness. And you follow the whole Canaanite history is a history of idolatry, child killing, idol worship, nakedness, it's immorality. Wherever there is a lot of nakedness, you will find fornication, adultery. You will find with that comes all the venereal diseases. There's a curse that comes with all of those things. And that's what the children of Israel partook of until they were able to go from there to the next step when they were able to defeat the men of Ai when they destroyed the cursed thing. And then they went to the next step. What was the next step? They met the Hivites. The Hivites came, and the Word of God says Joshua and the elders didn't pray, and they made covenant with the Hivites. And who were the Hivites? The Hivites were the people of prayerlessness. They didn't pray. See, we have a lot of cursed things coming to the church because prayer has been removed from the church for the most part, and cursed things have come in. And the Hivites were the people that did what? They raped Dinah from the patriarchs, from Jacob's 12 sons, and he had a daughter named Dinah, and they raped her, and they wanted to intermarry with him, and they were, of course, destroyed. You follow me so far?
Yeah.
And what I'm saying.
I love all this history. It brings back so many good memories of reading some of these things myself.
Because we can see this in the church. I can remember in the 1970s when I was saved, and we'd have all-night prayer meetings where 120 people come fasting.
Yeah.
Now, if you can get a dozen people out to pray, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
The church has become prayerless. Cursed things. How many cursed things do we have inside the church now? We have Bibles written by homosexuals. We have men like Rick Warren saying he has homosexual lesbian members that are joining us to calling the God of Islam and the God of Israel the same God. Is that a cursed thing? Do we have even the only time you hear the cross preached, it's perverted by Jimmy Swagger into something else. That man knows absolutely nothing about the cross, I'm convinced. Absolutely nothing. Compare John Wesley to Jimmy Swagger. John Wesley, in the Wesleyan movement, you could not accumulate money to become rich. His holiness clubs, they would dedicate themselves to saying, any extra money comes our way is going to be strictly for the going for the spreading of the gospel. Nobody was allowed to become rich.
Yeah.
Today, you look today, there he is with his mansions, his wife's purse, on and on and on and on, the abuse of money. And his latest thing, he's $800,000 for a generator. I don't know, what generator are you buying? A generator's going to take you to Mars? You know what? A generator's $800,000.
maybe. That's it.
Are all these things within the church? Yes.
It's even with your history with the full gospel business, and remember, we'd go and somebody would share a testimony, and we'd cry, and we'd remember our salvation, we would remember our first love, and it all seemed to be so innocent. And now they've let in all these perversions, and it's just so sad. It's just really sad.
The nation, the parasite nation that was in Israel, they took away the narrow way. You can read in 2 Samuel 5, the parasites, you can read about them where Joshua addresses him, and he says, go cut wood from the land of the parasites, but they were against the narrow way, so they couldn't take Mount Ephraim, or it might be the book of Judges, they couldn't take Mount Ephraim, the Mount of Fruitfulness. See, we have all these principalities and spirits that are blocking the way, and it's just blocking the way.
Yeah, it's blocking the way. Well, our time is up, and we're still everything after 60 minutes, people can no longer listen live, but it is archiving these last few minutes so that when they go back to listen, they can hear the last few minutes. But
I hope I haven't yacked too much and not giving you enough chance to ask
questions. No, I'm glad you did, because it really blessed me, because it was my sermon for the day, I'm telling you, and I'm full, and I really, really enjoyed it. I always enjoy listening to people that are very, very good Bible teachers and have studied the way you have, and I appreciate it so very much, because I think it was a great Bible lesson for everybody that listened and everybody that will listen in the future. But just before we close, John, would you just tell people where they can find your books if they'd be interested in purchasing them?
Yes. They could go to treeoflifechristianfellowship.net.
Okay.
There's a couple other Tree of Life there. Make sure that you get one that says Nanako, because I understand there's a homosexual Tree of Life.
Yeah,
so make sure you get
that's
the,
it.
We're not that one.
Yeah, make sure you and you can put it into the search engine, Pastor John Murray, Tree of Life, and then you'll make sure that you'll find it. His books are available there.
And there's a Tree of Life ChristianFellowship.net, and you can go to the bookstore, and then eight books listed, or seven books. We'll have a new one. The eighth one will come in. I have one of them's in Spanish, and then. Also, they can go to the Seed of the Alabaster Box, and which are teaching newsletters. And then I also have a discernment ministry thing that they can click on that will have teaching on some of the things that the church is facing.
That's
it's just
good,
it's so much
good,
to talk about.
Have,
an hour goes
there
like
is,
the snap.
There is, but there's many more programs to do. But it's... it's wonderful to know that people have a wonderful church to go to, and that they have a pastor that's a true shepherd, and that is interested in teaching people the Word of God and the pure Word of God without ulterior motives. That's very, very refreshing, and I pray that God will raise up more men with a true shepherd's heart. It's a blessing. It's been a blessing talking with you and knowing you, and I want to thank you so much for being with me today. I really, really do appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time out.
Well, this is my very, very happy, happy privilege, and it was it was an honor to. It's an honor. It's always an honor to bring the Word of God that sanctifies the hungry.
Yeah.
And there's so many people. I get calls all around the country. People that don't have churches.
I know.
They can't find churches.
I know.
And then when you find where there are churches that are really bringing the full counsel of God, there's so much satanic opposition. It's phenomenal. So but the Lord gives us this promise: where sin abounds, grace does much more abound.
Yeah, and it's hard to be quiet when you see the devastation that's all around us and what's happened to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if some of these people were ever in the real church, I doubt it. But it's we try to do what we can and to be that voice. So I want to thank.
Yeah, you've had that experience where you can sit in that like quote right from the books, and people will say, "He didn't say that."
Well, that's what they said. I had
that's
quite
delusion.
A few emails like that. I said, "Well, he never said that," but I did get one email from someone that said that they had followed Jimmy Swaggart for a long time, and they even ordered the Expositor's Bible. And then she said, "We listen to your programs on YouTube," and she said, "We're sending those Bibles back. We're gonna."
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so well, thank
I can't
Jesus.
I can't stand his Bible. The thing that I can't stand the most about his Bible is he takes the red letters of Jesus and he makes his own words red letter.
She said her and her husband didn't really realize that until they listened to the program. And so she said, "Oh no, we're going to send those Bibles back." Well, praise the Lord.
God bless them. They got it.
And they
God bless
the
them.
Truth. Yeah, so I was really blessed by that. So
that blesses my heart greatly.
Yes, I'm sure it does. So we'll be looking for your new books, and we'll love to have you on again anytime.
Well, you just feel free. Just give me an invite, and I'll come.
Okay. Thank you,
simple.
Don. All right.
God bless you mightily.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
I want to thank everybody for listening today, and remember that Jesus said you must be born again. Once you're born of your mother, and then you must be born of the Spirit of God. And we would like to invite you today to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through his Son, Jesus Christ. And God does love you. He really does love you. He sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross for you and for your sins. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God can forgive you of any sin. He is there to extend his mercy and his grace to you the way he did for me, the way he did for John, the way he would do for anyone that would cry out to him and ask him. So take the time today to get down on your knees and ask Jesus Christ into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to give you a new life. And get a good King James Bible and read it. Start reading your Bible and renewing your mind with the Word of God. You'll be surprised how you will develop a love and a hunger for God's Word and how that the Word of God washes you and cleanses you. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be a Christian and to know that God is real and that we can have eternal life in Jesus Christ. So I want to thank you all for tuning in today. And tune in again next week, okay? We'll be back next week at 1 p.m. with another program. And my guest is going to be Rick Fua. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right, but we're going to be discussing also some of the apostasy and some of the false teachings. So tune in next week, 1 p.m., for another live broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, Prophetic News. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven. There'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.